List the people whom you have trusted in your life since you were born. I'm sure many of us have a pretty long list. Why did you trust them? What did you trust them with? Do you still trust them now? From day one, it would be our parents, uncles and aunties. At that stage of our lives, we probably have no choice and we were completely ignorant. But as we grow older, as we become more aware of our surroundings, and we become more willful, you realize that we begin to challenge and question their decisions, and our trust in our parents will wane. Teachers, they are the ones that have taught us from primary school all the way through our higher studies. They taught us subjects that equip us for life in this world. And so we trusted them. We also challenged and questioned them as well in order for us to learn more, to learn better. And once we entered into the working world, there will be our contemporaries and our employers. And we need to learn to trust them because it is their company, their work environment. And since we are new, we have to adapt and adjust to their work environment regarding what time we come to the office, how we conduct ourselves, and what time we leave the office. And so we also learn to trust them in terms of our work life experiences. And of course, at a personal level, it will be our friends and our siblings. And that will be personal matters pertaining to our relationship with them. And as long as all these that have been mentioned are unbelievers, we things of this world. I remember a friend in university first year. We would help each other in our studies. He was better than me in drawing, in painting especially. I only know how to draw and sketch using pen and pencil. I was self-taught, learning how to draw since I was a little boy. I did not go to any art school, but he did. And so he was pretty good in watercolor. And in my time, before there was computer, whatever we had designed had to be drawn out in 3D, three-dimensional. So let's say if it is a condominium, an office block, we have to present a colorful drawing of our design, whether it is from a bird's eye view or from a worm's eye view or from a human's eye view. And so he helped me. I did not know how to use watercolor, but he was weak in maths. And so I taught him maths because there were some subjects that require mathematics, like the physics of environment, the calculation of how bright this room ought to be, how large the column or the wall's thickness and all these things. We need to know mathematics. And so we help one another. And so we stick together. We did many things together in university. And we passed our first year together, by God's grace, pretty well. But then when I came to know Christ at the start of my second year, I shared the gospel with him. I shared Christ with him. And then I realized that he was not interested. And so little by little, we drifted apart because the past activities that I used to do with him, like going to the movies together when we had free time, all these things I stopped doing. I did not want to go. And therefore, the common ground between spiritual matters and earthly matters became the divisive issue. And then my new set of friends became church friends because I spent more time in church on Saturday with our fellowship activities. And then, of course, on Sunday, the whole of Sunday, where I used to spend time doing my work and go to university to do our projects, they became less and less often because of the Lord's Day activities. And I do not know why, but I love to attend evening services. My church only had morning services. I was not from Calvary Pandan for the first 7 years of my Christian life. In those days, of course, there was no computer. I look at the newspaper whenever there is a publicity of an evening service in this part of Singapore, that part of Singapore, in that church or this church, I would just take a bus and then I would go on my own until I was introduced to Sunset Gospel Hour. And that's where I stayed on and continued to attend every Sunday evening. We drift apart. The people in my life that I trusted when I was growing up before I was converted, they were all earthly matters. But once I was born again, spiritual matters, people who helped me in spiritual matters, I began to involve myself more and more with them. And so there were pastors, there were Bible college lecturers, seminary professors and teachers, and then of course church leaders and so on. And as a young believer with starry eyes, you look at them as if they are godlike. You just can't wait to learn from them. And as you grow, as you mature, and when the Lord called me into full-time ministry, you enter into the full-time ministry, which means you're no longer someone seated at the pew. You're now on the other side of the pew. You begin to see more and more and more and more behind the scenes of some of these pastors and teachers and leaders and session members, like deacons and elders. You realize that they are definitely far from godlike. And some of them, to my horror, might not even be born again because of their behavior, because of their erroneous understanding and teaching of God's word. I'm sure you may know there are some BP ministers who do not believe in creationism. They believe in evolution. There's some BP ministers who doubt and question the miracle of Christ. All these are found within our BP circles. And so do I still trust them today? Definitely not. But before, as a new believer, like you seated on the pew, I trusted them. Every time they come up to the pulpit to share God's word, I would receive it as if it is the God, is the word of God and not the word of man. Less critical, less discerning. But as you mature, as you grow, and now in our internet world, you realize that you cannot be complacent. Discernment is a very rare virtue, Christian virtue that we all need to have. Because if we do not have proper discernment, and with so many young ones depending upon our discernment, especially if you are a parent with young children, what you believe, it will impact them directly. Where you bring them, where you go, which church you attend, will impact and affect their eternity, heaven or hell. That's how serious it is whom we trust. And that is why it is very important that when it comes to spiritual matters, we have to be very, very judicious and careful in trusting the right people in these last days. And with the present state and condition of the face of Christianity, 1 billion Roman Catholics, where the face of Christianity is one of superstition, 600 million charismatic followers whose face of Christianity is one of carnality. And then you have the new evangelicals, 60 to 100 million of them, who believe the Bible has mistakes in one way or another, because they are also evolutionists, theistic evolution, denying the global flood, believe in the local flood. All these indirectly impact the gospel they preach. If you believe in evolution, death already existed before there was man. So therefore, sin was not the reason why death came into this world. If that is true, then what gospel do you preach? Because if our sins are forgiven, then death could not be defeated, since death already pre-existed before there was man. So the gospel message is undermined if you are an evolutionist. And we have people, pastors and leaders in some of our circles, who believe in evolution. All these are deadly and dangerous, and they are very subtle in their danger. And if we do not have the discernment, and we use expediency as our basis for church attendance, for how we expose ourselves and our loved ones to spiritual matters and doctrines and truth, then we are in serious trouble. Because expediency is one of the most powerful and tantalizing, seductive method that the devil will constantly use. Why do I want to wait for a bus and take 1 hour to go to church when there is a church downstairs within 5 minute walk? Right? That kind of mentality. Attending church is just attending church. God will be pleased. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether that's an ecumenical church, whether that church will help you grow in the Lord, whether the church preaches the word of God properly or correctly, worship the Lord using contemporary music or not. They don't care. Just attend church. That's what God wants, right? No, that's never what God wanted, especially in the last days where God tells us before the Lord returns, Christianity will turn apostate. And the last days are here. And therefore, we have to do due diligence to make sure that the church that we attend that will impact our spiritual well-being is very, very biblically and carefully discerned and considered. And so whom you used to trust, if they remain faithful and true to the Lord, keep on trusting them. But the moment they stop, your loyalty first and foremost has to be Christ. Your loyalty must never to any human being. That is cultic. Paul warns us in Acts 20, after my departure, grievous wolves from outside will come and devour the flock. But then there will be the second problem. Men will rise up from within and draw other men unto themselves. That is cultic. One step after that will be cult. Cultic means pastors will draw attention to themselves. And when they do that, they will shift your loyalty away from Christ to themselves. That's cultic. And that is very deadly and dangerous. Very soon, little by little, you feel that who you are, what you are, is because of the pastor and not because of Christ. And that is a problem, for your loyalty will be to him, which means whatever he does, you will back him up and support him because you idolize him. But with Christ, he is God. If Christ is not God, then he is a cult leader. But thank God he is the Son of God, God himself. And that is why Christianity is a religion and not a cult, because Jesus is God. So you have to be very discerning nowadays to put your trust in the right people, in the right church. Other people depend on your decision, especially if you have young children. Number two, what is the relationship between trust and faith? Is it correct to say one can have faith in someone but need not trust that someone? Impossible. You cannot separate the two. They are two sides of the same coin of obedience. You cannot say, Lord, I have faith in you, but I don't trust you. You can't. When you have faith in someone, you got to trust in someone. You cannot say, I have faith in you, but I can't trust you to do anything. That is not faith. Without faith, we know it is impossible to please God. To trust God, like what our theme verse says, is to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is basically what trust is defined as by God. Taste and see means you got to literally believe and do it, taste, right? You go to eat it. You cannot say, well, this apple is very, very sweet, but I have not tasted it, but I was told that it is very sweet. So how do you know it's sweet? Well, someone told me that it's sweet, but have you tasted it? Said, no, I have not. You have to taste it, and then you can see it. See it means you can now testify that it is really sweet because I have tasted it and it is good. There are some people who will convince you and tell you that it is good for you to do this and do that and attend, but they themselves will not attend and will not go. And there are a lot of preachers and teachers who will do that. They will preach the right doctrine, but they themselves do not live that right doctrine in their lives. And you know the danger when these people's transgressions are exposed. The people who look up to them and follow them will probably throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not only will they throw out the teacher and the preacher, but they will also throw out their entire doctrine. And because of that, the devil wins. And now you have thrown out the biblical doctrine, which is exactly what the devil wanted. And so these preachers and teachers are very dangerous when they preach right doctrine, righteous truth, and they do not follow them. And be sure your sin will find you out, and it will be exposed. And people will be so badly stumbled and devastated that they will throw out the right doctrines that will ruin their lives. And you and I know that the doctrine of stumbling is not an excuse to justify ourselves being stumbled. You cannot blame that person, even though the person may be the one that has stumbled you. Was that not what happened when God confronted Adam? He wanted to put the blame on Eve. Did God punish Adam? Yes. And then Eve blamed it on the serpent. Did God punish Eve? Yes. God did not excuse. Yeah, the serpent deceived you, therefore I will punish the serpent, I won't punish you. Eve was punished too. Sure, the serpent will be punished for his transgression, his deception. But just because you are stumbled by the serpent doesn't mean that you who have now been stumbled is no longer in sin. You are still in sin. And therefore the Lord will punish you for the sin that you have now committed before him. So we have to be very mindful and careful. Faith and trust cannot be separated. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Romans 14 made it clear, anything that is not done in faith is a sin. That means if you cannot live a life trusting in what God has revealed to us in Scripture, then you have a very serious problem with your salvation and your faith and your trust in Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. A very serious problem that you have. God is not interested in lip service. He's interested in life, obedience. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, and the word doeth is in the present tense, which means who continue to do. For how long? For the rest of his life. Who continue to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Where is the will of God the Father found on earth? You cannot go up to heaven to find out. Thank God we don't have to do that because it's impossible. We thank God that he revealed to us the will of God the Father in heaven, on earth, in what we know as the Bible. And so therefore, how do you know you're a believer? Because you live your life according to Scripture. That is the evidence of your salvation. Who said so? Jesus said so as the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. A very, very frightful warning. The narrow road is described in the Sermon on the Mount. Your new relationship with God's word, with God, with your possessions, and with people. That's the narrow road. And at the end of it, which is death, the narrow gate, life everlasting waits for you. But if you just live any way you like, not interested in God's word, you are in the broad way, because there are many people who are walking in that path. At the end of it, the broad gate that leads to destruction. So just because you call yourself a Christian, you cry to him and call him Lord, means nothing if it is not evidenced by a life of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I study the Bible and I live my life according to the Bible. A child of God will always study the Bible with a heart of obedience. And the word of God is not like a buffet spread. Pick and choose what you want to eat. You don't like, you leave it alone. The Bible is a 10-course dinner. Every verse is very delicious food. And you must always have a desire to consume, to obey as you study the Word of God. And the Bible is an amazing and wonderful and interesting book. No matter how many times you study it a million times, there is still so much more that you do not know when you study it for the 1,000,001 extra time. That's the amazing thing. So don't you say, well, I studied the book of Genesis 10 times already. I don't need to study again. You need to keep on studying for how long? For the rest of your life and probably unto eternity. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. It's God's word revealing to us God's will, God's mind, God's way. And since God is infinite, in the Bible, there is so much more to learn and to know. You look at the commentaries that have been written, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of pages, and there are still more commentaries coming out. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. There's no need for second edition. There's one and only edition. And that's how your faith and your trust is going to be revealed in your life, your attitude toward God's word. Number three, a father worries that he might not earn enough for his three children's university education with inflation always rising exponentially. He also worries about losing his job and not being able to provide for his family's daily needs. Does this describe you? I think it describes most of us, if not all of us. Maybe those who are retired, those whose life are basically behind them, and what they have would be whatever days or weeks or months or years ahead of them. Maybe they no longer struggle with this issue. Right? Ruth, you struggle? No more. No more, you see? No more. Right? You and Victor, you all can just enjoy, right? When you're growing up, different, huh? With young children, right? With all the two big boys, they're different, right? But now, no more. Right? Which is true. When you look back, but when you are living your life, one more minute. When you're living your life, you realize that you need to struggle. And yet, the Lord says, don't worry. Your not enough problem is my problem now. I will take care. And I know your future, and I am the one planning your future and making sure that it will become exactly the way that I have designed for you. Your duty is to experience it day by day and to discover what it is like one day at a time. So do not worry. There are so many things that you cannot control, but I can. Whether your children will grow up into university level, I know you don't. You hope. But you cannot live your life based upon your wishful thinking. I will take care. So you have to trust in the Lord day by day, knowing that your future, your children's future, all our futures are in the hand of our loving, omnipotent, omniscient Heavenly Father. So trust Him by living day by day. Enjoy every day, knowing that tomorrow is in your Heavenly Father's hand. You just learn to discover and see how His hand is holding yours and leading you step by step, step by step. That is very enjoyable and delightful, and you will not need to worry one single bit. Sorry for overtime.